October 22nd, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class. This is text 292. Tat ad bhavadi madhurye shute dirya yada pekshate. Nata shastram yuktincha tilobhutpati lakshanam. If one's intelligence is no more guided by scriptural injunctions or dependent on any human or favorable reasonings and arguments, after listening to the different sthayi bhavas of the four categories of Vrajabhaktas, and also listening to the sweetness of their extraordinary beauties and qualities, then it's considered to be a sign of such craving or intense longing for Raghunuga Bhakti as aroused in one's heart. On the previous verse, Rupa Goswami is explaining that when one has intense craving to follow in a Vrijabhasi, that's that greed, that lobha, that's the beginning point. Now he's defining what is the nature of that. He says that one is not so much caring about Vaidhi sadhana, there's so many rules and regulations, he doesn't care so much about that. He actually wants to, he hears about the beauty of the Vrajagopis and their exchanges, and his intelligence gets captivated there. His intelligence gets attracted. And it says, na yukti. Yukti means logic. Na shastram na yukti. By logic or shastra, he doesn't really care. He just wants to follow. Now, of course, this is further explanation of the qualifications of follow Rag Bhakti. And then he starts to compare. In these two verses, he talks about the Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunuga sadhana, the transitional period from Vaidhi to Raghunuga. When we say that a Raghunuga bhakta is above the regulative principles, it doesn't mean that they don't follow the regulative principles, but it means that their motivation is love, rag, attachment, attraction. It's not dependent on scriptural injunction for their inspiration to serve and surrender. Generally, we serve or we surrender to Krishna because we read shastras or we hear some preaching that is good for us and we'll avoid suffering now and in the future. We get relief, we can get peace, we can get happiness by following these bhakti shastras and following the various details of those shastras. And we're inspired by the shastra and we act by that shastric inspiration. But on a platform rag, then one acts because he wants to act. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to chant, and he's not calculating what fruit of benefit or gains that he will acquire by serving Krishna. His inspiration is the beauty of Krishna, and his inspiration is the pastimes and the exchanges between Krishna and his associates in Braj. So when it says that the Raghunuga Bhakti is above the regulative principles, because Vaidhi is generally, we say, the regulative, the vidhi nisheda, the yama and niyama, the rules and regulations of Vaidhi sadhana, oh, now he's a Raghunuga Bhakta. So then sometimes people say, oh, he's following Raghunuga Bhakti, so he doesn't come to Mangalartik, he doesn't chant his rounds anymore, and he can eat boga, he doesn't have to eat prasadam anymore because he sees Krishna everywhere. And so the people have a misunderstanding of the Rag Bhakti. Rag Bhakti means that now you don't have to shave anymore. You can grow your hair out and grow your beard you don't have to wear dhoti and tilak. And I get all kinds of funny ideas. But actually the term, when we're using this term that a Raghunuga Bhakti is above regulative principles, what does the term regulative principles mean in this definition of Raghunuga Bhakti? The regulative principles refers to two. It refers to one as the injunctions of Vedic Dharma, and the second as the 64 Angas of Bhakti. This does not refer to the four regulative principles of no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And that, because that's also there sometimes. People are saying, oh, I'm following Raghunuga Bhakti, so I can take the tumble from Radharaman. I can eat Radharaman's betel nut or tumble, because now I'm a Raghunuga Bhakta. I'm on spontaneous platform of love and attraction. and the pujari has given this to me. You're a vaidhi sadhaka. This is not good for you. This might affect your devotion. But me, I have rag. But actually, what it means is regular principles, the injunctions in Vedic Dharma and the 64 angas of bhakti. Because these are also regulative principles of bhakti, to offer, coming before the deity and offering prayers. And so many things are there. Surrendering to guru and following the guru's teaching. So someone says, oh, I'm a Raghunuga Bhakta, so now I don't have to follow my guru anymore. He told me to stay in the West and preach or raise funds for the temple, but I've been too much attracted to Radha and Krishna, so now I just want to stay at Radhakund and forget about my guru's instructions. But this is not, it says, Vishrambena Gurur Seva. This is a regulative principle. There are 64 regulative principles of bhakti that are given in Nectar Devotion. And one of them is to serve the guru with great faith and great love and devotion. Not to reject the guru and follow our own whims, our own personal idea, so-called rag. So this is important to know. Maybe some minor points that we don't follow, but we follow all the limits of bhakti. So Raghunuga Bhakti is also following the 64 limits of bhakti. And one of them is to attend Mangal Arati and rise early, and all these things are part of the limits of bhakti. And another, Raghunuga Bhakti, is they also follow the four Buddha principles. When rag arises, one then follows the rules of scripture that help him develop his spontaneous feelings of attraction for the bhav, or the love of the Braj Gopis, the bhav they have. So now, of those 64 limbs of bhakti, those 64 regular principles, a Raghunuga Bhakta, he may ignore a few, and then he may emphasize or spend majority of his time in a few of those limbs, a few of those regulative limbs of devotion. For example, one of the 64 limbs of devotion is to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. So a devotee on the level of Raghunuga Bhakti, he may incessantly study the Bhagavatam day and night, the Gitas of the Bhagavatam, the Gitas of the 10th canto that are all about the gopis, because he finds it so much anukulya. Those gopi geet, veno geet, brahma geet, and viraha geet, pranaya geet, yuga geet, and the commentaries therein. And he finds that this very much increases his attachment to the Braja Gopis and his understanding of their bhav and their sevas, and he makes that his, practically his full-time engagement. So he may be neglecting other engagements, going before the deity, taking darshan, offering prayers, because he's day and night poring over the books. But that can be accepted, that he's emphasized one ekanga, or one limb of bhakti, because he finds that this is most conducive for my development of my bhav and my rag for the gopis. In Jiva Goswami's commentary, he says that when the sweetness and excellence of the sentiments of Nanda and Yashoda and other Braja Janas towards Krishna are partly listened to from the Bhagavatam, there is a slight relishing and realization of it. When the faculty of understanding is no more guided by scriptural injunction and human reasonings and argument, is engaged in the sweetness of the bhavas in the wake of the ragatmikas of Braj, that means Lalita Vishaka, etc., then such a state of mental attitude of individual may be said to be the sign of cause of awakening, spontaneous and eager longing, which is a sign of Raghunuga Bhakti. And because it says bhavadi, and this says tatad bhavadi, beginning with madhurya, that madhurya bhav, one hears about it. So here, I mean, in this particular verse, we're told about the power of hearing. These bhavas of the eternal associates of Krishna, when we hear about them from the Bhagavatam and other scriptures that talk about the Lord's pastimes, written by rasic bhaktas, like books by Rupa Goswami, books by Raghunath Das and Kavi Karnapur, and Krishna's Kaviraj, when we read these books, and then just from hearing them, reading them, something happens. Something awakens in the heart, even to a limited degree. We start to relish the supreme beauty and sweetness of the bhavas, of the Braja Gopis. So now, as we relish that in our heart, in our mind, then the intellectual, our intelligence, is no more bound by scriptural injunctions. He is now, the Raghunuga Bhakta, is now independent of scriptural dogmas and human reasonings, because he's guided by a strong longing to attain these bhavas, their sweetness and the unsurpassing beauties and qualities. He desires to follow in their footsteps. There's two things that are basically said here in the commentary, and it's Jiva Goswami says that the Murti and the Bhagavatam, that this greed, when one reads, that's why we're always told Nityam Bhagavata Sevya, to regularly and repeatedly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada so much emphasized that. He was saying, every morning hear the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam class in every ISKCON temple. So that's for everyone. We go step by step through the 12 cantos. And then Prabhupada said, and every evening hear the 10th canto, Krishna book. So every 90 days, if you read a chapter a day, that means every 3 months you go through the Bhagavatam. 90 chapters, 3 months, one a day. So that means 4 times a year you hear the 10th canto. So if you've been a devotee for 4 years, that means 16 times you've heard the 10th canto. It's a lot. It will have a lot of effect. These two ways, he's saying, by hearing the Bhagavatam, especially the descriptions about the Braja Gopis and the Braja Janas, and by seeing the Murti. Because the name there, it says, the craving in taste that's experienced by Krishna and Kamanuga Bhakti may also be aroused from seeing the beautiful and attractive Sri Murti. So by seeing the Murti of Krishna and hearing the Bhagavatam, these have very powerful effect. That's why everywhere Prabhupada established Murtis of Radha and Krishna. Radha Rasa Bihari, Radha Partha Sarati, Radha Govinda, Radha Madhav, Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopi Janavallava, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Kalachandi, 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 Radha Landanishwara, Radha Parashishwara. Everywhere he installed these deities, Radha Sham. And now everywhere the Bhagavatam. So hearing this 10th canto Bhagavatam, it's very powerful. If someone hears that Bhagavatam, every day they see the deity of Radha Sham Sundara, every day they sit with Indra and hear his Harinam, I'm sure they're going to develop a keen interest in Vrindavan and the gopis and all this by this practice. So this is what Prabhupada is presenting to us. He's giving us a very strong opportunity to become Raghunuga Bhaktas. That person who is greedy to attain a bhav, or feeling of love, similar to that of the Brijbasis, who are fixed only in Ragatmika Bhakti, is qualified to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is also characterized by intense craving to attain the service of a particular resident Vrindavan. So what we want is bhav and seva. We combine the two, it's called bhav seva. We read about the Krishna's gopis in Vrindavan, and we see the beautiful murtis of Radha and Krishna, Lita Vishaka. And then as we become purified in bhakti, then some attraction, some rag awakens, some greed to serve them, to follow their associates, to follow the gopis, to attain the same feelings of love and sentiments of bhava and dedication, attachment that they have for Radharani. And then we hear about their services and we think, oh, I would like to render a similar service to this that they are rendering. Rupa Goswami is fanning with a chamara, Srimati Radharani. So I would like, this is very attractive to me, I would also like to fan Radharani with a chamara. So this type of feelings, this type of awakening or arousing of desires for bhav, braja bhav, and desires for braja seva in a particular sthayi bhav, this is the adhikar to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. And if you ask some of the people that are so-called claiming themselves to be Raghunuga Bhaktas, has this really happened within you? Do you have this mood? And they'll say, yeah, sure. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But that kind of sincerity for someone who's genuinely pursuing this line is very, very rare. Read text 293. Vaida bhaktiadikari tu bhavavir bhava navadi acha shastram tata tarkam anukulam apekshate. Anukulam. Tarkam anukulam apekshate. Those eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti must depend on scripture as well as favorable reasoning and arguments till the flash of bhavas appear in their hearts. Interesting. This is flash. The avirbhav. Avadi. Avadi. The manifestation of bhava in the heart. Jiva Goswami says that this shloka observes that as one eligible for Raghunuga Bhakti follows the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, one's bhakti is limitless. There's no limit to which Raghunuga Bhakti may extend and be practiced. Rupa says that a follower of Vaidhi Bhakti has got to practice it to a limit till bhava appears in his heart. And then he says this verse from 11:20-31. My devotees who are free from all passions, who maintain equanimity of outlook everywhere and under all circumstances, and who have attained me, who am beyond Maya and Mayic influences, and who have feelings for me with awakening of bhavas, the sthayi bhava flashes in their, appears in their heart. Then they become one-pointed devotees, ekanta bhaktas, and are no longer bound by the rules and regulations of the scriptures. So this freedom from scriptural injunctions or rules comes to the level of bhava. When one is genuinely, lovingly attached to Krishna, then he's guided by his love, he's guided by his intense attachment. Then he's a real Raghunuga Bhakta. In Rag Bhakti, the thirst for following in the wake of the bhavas of the Ragatmika Bhaktas of Braj is inherent from the very beginning, and it doesn't depend on scriptures or favorable arguments and reasoning. So this is it. The basic qualification to practice Raghunuga Bhakti is lobha, eagerness to achieve the service of a particular devotee. It's not an easy or cheap thing. Lobha or greed means intense covetousness, where there's only one overwhelming desire to please Krishna in a particular way. As long as there's other desires in their heart, the required intensity of focus cannot manifest. There's a lot of fake Raghunuga Bhaktas out there. They're still wallowing in anarthas and covered by so many layers of desire. The required intensity of focus cannot manifest. Therefore, lobe or divine greed usually does not awaken until a devotee achieves steadiness or nishtha at the completion of anartha nivritti. After having thoroughly read the Srimad Bhagavatam and becoming free from all unwanted desires, one then possesses the quality to practice genuine Raghunuga Bhakti. That's an interesting point. So this is a, takes some time to come to that level of intensity or that level of purity. Now we're going to get into the how to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. It's only a few verses, two or three verses, that he mentions about this. There's a text. Well, let's see. I have some notes on these verses, too. Yeah, before we start that. There's some notes on 291 through 292. So greed to follow the Brajajanas. This is very nice. I want to read this again. So we say, the qualification to follow Raghunuga Bhakti is greed. I really want it. We know what greed is all about. I really want this food, I really want this these clothings, I really want this woman, I really want this man, I really want to come to Vrindavan, I really want, so many wants we have, and we really want them. We have wants, and when they're real wants, or really want them, then it's greed. We become greedy. So we think, oh yes, I like reading about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, I'm greedy for this. But Rupa Goswami is saying, what is the basic qualification of practice Raghunuga Bhakti? It's eagerness to achieve the service of a particular devotee. It's not a cheap thing. Lobha, spiritual greed, intense covetousness, this is where the one's only and overwhelming desire is to please Krishna in a particular way. As long as other desires are in our hearts, we don't have the intensity of focus to manifest true lobe or divine greed. And Jiva Goswami says, it's such real lobha, spiritual lobha, does not awaken until one has attained steadiness. That's why earlier on when he was discussing about this Kamarupa Bhakti and whatnot, he used this word. He says, Radgatmika Ekanishta, Brajavasi Jana. The one of Nishta means that he's steady and convinced that this is all I want, is to follow the footsteps of Rupa Manjari and have similar services and similar loving mood towards Radharani that he has or she has. That's the Nishta. But even that type of Nishta in bhajan, or spiritual desire, doesn't come until one is actually at the devotional level of Nishta. Because otherwise, at Anartha Nivritti, so many other desires fill our hearts and take us in different directions. So now the note I have on these two verses, 291 through 292, this greed concept is very nice, and it's very much misunderstood. In our book, we'll have a whole section about this. And these are some notes from that, so that one can actually see. This is the entrance requirements to practice. What is Raghunuga Bhakti? First definition: following Ragatmika Bhaktas. And what is the qualification to follow this greed? And what is a genuine definition of this greed? Then we have to apply this definition to our standard of advancement, and honestly examine our qualification in this regard. Do we really have spiritual greed? Or are we simply swept up with the fashion? It's a fashion to be involved. It's a fashion to have a guru. It's a fashion to be a Raghunuga Bhakti. Are you practicing Raghunuga Bhakti? No. Oh, you're in Maya. You missed the boat. You're old fashioned. Oh, in ISKCON they don't teach Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, you guys are, you're not getting anywhere. You're wasting your time. The eligibility to practice Raghunuga Bhakti is greed. Greed means excessive attachment for something. I don't care for anything but that object. A greedy person can break the law. He's always meditating on his object of greed. He always wants it. He doesn't care how he gets it. He's never satisfied with it. No one can convince him he should not be greedy. It's not good for you. You'll get in trouble. If one gets the same type of greed to follow the mood of the Brijbasis, that is a qualification to be a Raghunuga Bhakta. How do we attain such greed? This spiritual greed comes by repeatedly and sincerely hearing about the sweetness of the devotion and love of the residents of Vrindavan towards Krishna. When one is attracted to this sweetness, his intelligence will not depend on injunctions of the Shastras. Like a person who becomes greedy for money, there's no need to tell him that you should make money. It's useful, and money is good for you. Still, the person will need guidance. He'll get some books, and he knows, and he'll learn how best to earn money. Not that he will need anyone to tell him or order or preach to him to do it. He wants to. A Raghunuga Bhakta wants Brajabhav without anyone telling him. I remember once someone, they asked, they said, there's many books, Maharaj, he said, there's many books in the market about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, about Braja Gopis and Astakali Leela and all these books about Madhurya Bhav and Gopi Bhav and books by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das and Prarthana. But I don't know if I should read them. I think I should just read Bhagavad Gita, and I'm not sure what I should do. What should I do? I said, you should read Bhagavad Gita and don't touch those books. Because if you're not, if you have no attraction, this is the whole point. If you have no, this greed overrules your reasoning and intelligence. I said, this is the proof that you have no greed. He said, I'm interested, but I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, and I'm not that interested. It's like someone saying, when someone, some young boy says to his older brother, no, I don't know, I see this girl across the street. I don't know if I should talk to her or not, or should I look at her? Is it good for me to look at her? Or, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I should look at her, but I'm not sure. And maybe I should talk. I don't know whether I should talk to her. You won't have to get a confirmation from your brother whether it's a good idea to look at her or talk to her. You'll automatically go there when your greed or your taste arises within you. So if one is actually grown up to some extent and matured in bhakti by hearing Bhagavatam and serving Guru, that's why Prabhupada uses the term in Nectar Devotion, that Raghunuga Bhakti is spontaneous. It's a spontaneous attraction for the Lord. Something develops, doesn't just blow up like a firecracker from nothing to a big explosion, but it's gradual development. And one will feel very much inclined. Of course, he may ask his guru, that's the general, he'll say, Guruji, I'm becoming so much interested in these subjects, I really want to read these shastras. And the guru will say, yes, read this one, that one, and give some suggestion and what parts and how to do it. So Rag Bhakti wants the Braja Bhav without anyone telling him once he gets Loba. Still, a Raga Nuga Bhakti will follow the shastras and will learn best how to attain. It's not that, now I'm very greedy to understand the love of the Braja Gopis, so therefore I'll just forget about all shastras and just develop my inner Bhav. No, it'll all be guided by shastras. And he'll find those shastras which best help him attain his desirable object of Radha and Krishna. Don't make the mistake and think that the path of Raghunuga Bhakti is spontaneous devotion, so we don't need any shastras. Sometimes people say that, because Prabhupada says it's spontaneous. Well, spontaneous, it's within me. It just sprouts up within me, and then my inner imagination or whatever I speculate, that's all I have to guide myself by. But no, it all has to be guided by shastra. We need shastra because we attain greed and increase our greed by reading shastra. Where does greed come from to begin with? By associating with advanced devotees, rasika Vaishnavas, and by reading the shastra. And by the Srimurti, this is what Rupa Goswami said, by seeing the murti of the Lord, especially Radha and Krishna, if one has some mild attraction to Madhurya Bhav or to Krishna and Vrindavan with the gopis, then we see the beautifully decorated Srimurti. Then we hear the Bhagavatam descriptions about Krishna and Vrindavan, and the combination of Bhagavatam and Srimurti, they create more and more attraction, more and more purification within us, and then our greed develops. So shastra is a big part of it. We attain greed by increase our greed by reading shastra. Naturally, Raghunuga Bhakti has faith in scripture. Raghunuga Bhakti is the supreme type of Vaidhi. Whatever shastras say, a Raghunuga Bhakti follows due to a natural liking for it. A Raghunuga Bhakti has natural liking for the bhava and attractions and activities of the Brajavasis. So we read about the life of Raghunath Das Goswami and his teachings as Rati Manjari. And then we develop a liking. Yes, I want to, as a sadhaka, I want to be like Raghunath Das. He was chanting so many astakams. He was wandering around Braj. He was living at Radhakund. He was offering so many dandavats. So we also engage in activities in our sadhaka roop like that. But then in his siddha roop, then he was rendering service to Radharani and meditating different pastimes. Then we read about those and we pray to someday attain such a similar position, and that similar bhavas will flow into our heart by his mercy and the mercy of the Nityasiddha devotees. If by hearing Shastra, Shastra is describing pastimes of Krishna and Braj with the gopis, one develops a greed to follow the actions and feelings of the Brijvasis, this means that he has attained the qualification of practice Raghunuga Bhakti. And everything again, it's not that it's spontaneous, Raghunuga Bhakti is spontaneous, and he disregards the scriptures and disregards all the injunctions. Rather, he's very tightly follows the scriptures, and there are different injunctions of the Shastras. Even Raghunuga Bhakti, he still has to rise early, still chants fixed number of malas, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi. But maybe he's more focused on particular aspects that bring out his greed and rag for Radha and Krishna. In the beginning, one practices Vaidhi Bhakti by following all the Shastras, all the Shastric rules and logic until one rises to the stage of Bhav. Then the Adhikari for Vaidhi Bhakti is over and one follows his Bhav. However, on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana, a devotee will follow the Ragatmika, the devotees from the beginning and for eternal time. That's very interesting. So Bhava, when we come to Bhava, then actually there's Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. So when we get to Bhava Bhakti, then all there's so many rules and regulations of Vaidhi, we may not follow any longer. But in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, right from the beginning, we're following the footsteps of the Brajajana, of the residents of Vrindavan. And that's here in the Sadaka Rupa, and it's there in our Siddhadeha. Forever we'll be following them. Like we see our Guru, then our Guru Mantri, Guru Sakhi. We'll always be, it's called Anugatya, Sakhi Anugatya. We'll always be in following under the authority, or under the leadership of some Yukteswari, Gopi leader, Mantri leader, like this. In our meditation, in our practice, and even in the spiritual world. So we're actually, when you begin Raghunuga Bhakti, you're actually entering the spiritual world directly. Because everything, you're in Vrindavan, meditating in Leelas, at a later stage of Raghunuga Bhakti, receiving one, the Siddhadeya, and from the very beginning you're with Rupa Manjari, you're with Rati Manjari. From the level of praying, from the level of meditating upon, praying for mercy, reading your scriptures, then as we advance in the meditation, one actually sees them. It's called Leela Pravesh, at the level of Bhava. Raghunuga is a sadhana, it's sadhana bhakti, but it leads to Bhava. So the familiarity and the intimacy with the eternal associates of the Lord increases more and more in intensity as one develops through Raghunuga sadhana to Bhava and Prema. It says Rupa Manjari Pada, that Rupa Manjari becomes one's very life, one's treasure, one's wealth, one's dharma, one's religion. Everything is Rupa Manjari. Now we sing some song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Mora Sampada. Oh, your feet, Rupa Manjari, they're my treasure. But there's so many other things that are my treasures, and so many other activities. But in that level, Rupa Manjari is the leader of all the Manjaris. Every Manjari is connected to Rupa Manjari in a very intimate and personal way. All Seva and all Leelas are connected to her, Radharani Seva. At the level of Bhav, one no longer identifies with the material body. He is a Jivan Mukta. He's completely free from all anarthas, and there's no more material desires. Therefore, there's no need anymore for Shastric injunctions. His intelligence is so pure, it doesn't need guidance of Shastra. Yet, he may still follow just to set an example for others. Before one attains Bhav, however, it will be harmful to his devotion and spiritual progress not to follow Shastra. So tomorrow we'll start 294. Krishna Smaram Jana Chasya Prishtam Nija Samahitam Tata Kata Ratash Chasu Kurya Dvasam Braje Sada. This is the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti in the outline form begins tomorrow, actually, what is to be done. And some points were touched today also. Reading to create, read and associate, create the desire and the greed, and then the greed itself will dictate one's further surrender and further interest.